Hello, Lighthouse Church family. Pastor Joel here. Just wanted to say thank you for tuning into another of our sermon podcasts. Hope there's a word for you today. Now, let's jump into your weekly dose of godly teaching for you.
Let's get started. Let me pray quick. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you have granted us the opportunity to come to this temple. Lord, I pray that you would anoint every single syllable that comes out of my mouth. Lord, that it would be holy, that it would be an honor unto you. Lord, I pray for every single person here this morning that their hearts would receive the word, that the word would not come back void, Lord, and that they would be blessed, that their faith would increase, and that your name would be great in their life. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen and amen. So with that being said, I wanted to share with you this morning something that the Lord has put on my heart these past couple weeks. And I don't want to step over Pastor Dave because I know he has a word for next year, but the Lord has been speaking to my heart about what is going to happen next year. And that is that there's going to be a moving of the Holy Spirit like never seen before here in Niagara, here in Canada, here in North America. There's going to be an increase financially quick. There's going to be an increase spiritually. But I want you to be standing on the right side. I want you to be standing in your purpose. I want you to be standing according to your calling. Because I don't want you to miss this. Pastor Jimmy Swaggart preaches, "Last night I was sleeping with the frogs, and today it's different." That's what is going to happen next year. There's going to be an increase quick. We need to be ready. Amen? So with that being said, the sermon title I have for today is called God Walks the Aisle, the covenant that carries you. A covenant is an agreement, usually formal, between two or more individuals of something to do or something not to do. I'm going to begin by reading in the book of Genesis chapter 15. If we can turn there, Genesis chapter 15. And I like to read from the New Living Translation because it's easier to teach and understand. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. In this chapter, the Lord has a covenant promise to Abram. Abram becomes Abraham. And so, this is what it says in Genesis chapter 1. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Then the Lord told him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession." Verse 8, but Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it?" The Lord told him, this gets crazy, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." So Abram presented all these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down in the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. Verse 12, as the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came down over him. Skip down all the way to verse 17. After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking fiery pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. The land now occupied by the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphites, Amorites, Canaanites, and those guys. I practice, but it's not coming out. So family, today I want to talk to you about a God who doesn't just make a promise. He walks the aisle to prove that he will keep them. We live in a world where everything is conditional. If you do this, then I'll do that. People walk in and out of relationships. Commitments don't mean much anymore. But in Genesis 15, God shows us a different kind of love. A covenant that carries you even when you can't carry yourself. This moment with Abraham is one of the clearest pictures we have of the gospel in the Old Testament. It shows us how God deals with his people. He takes the weight. He takes the responsibility. He walks the aisle alone. Today we're going to look at Abraham's question, God's covenant, God walks the aisle alone, and what does this mean for your life right now? You see, Abraham had a question. How can I know? Lord, how can I know? In Genesis chapter 15, verse 8, Abraham's question is, Lord, how can I know? And Genesis 15, verse 1 opens with God speaking directly to Abram in a moment of reassurance. Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. That tells us something right away. God speaks before Abram asks anything. God addresses the fear Abram before Abram names it. Abram just came out of a battle. He's been promised descendants. He's been promised land. He's been promised a blessing. But years have passed and nothing seems to have changed yet. So Abram responds with honesty in verse 8. Lord God, how can I know? This is an unbelief. This is a faith asking a real question. Abraham isn't saying, I don't believe you. He's saying, help me trust you in the waiting. There's a big difference. Faith doesn't mean you never ask questions. Faith means you bring the questions to God, not away from him. And if we're honest, many of us have prayed that same prayer. God, I know what you said. But how do I hold on when time keeps passing? You're believing for restoration, but the relationship still feels broken. You're believing for provision, but the numbers aren't adding up yet. You're believing for direction, but the path is still unclear. Abram is standing in the tension between the promise and the fulfillment. And notice this. God doesn't rebuke Abraham for asking. God doesn't withdraw the promise. God doesn't say, just trust me harder. Instead, God invites Abram deeper. Can someone say deeper? Here's the grace of God on full display. When Abram asked for assurance, God didn't give him a lecture. God gave him a covenant. In other words, God says, let's make an agreement. Let me show you how serious I am about what I have promised. And that sets the stage for one of the most powerful covenant moments in all of Scripture, where God doesn't just speak his word, he seals it with his presence. God's covenant. God doesn't just speak, he seals it. After Abraham asks God, Lord, how can I know? God does something powerful. God doesn't just answer with more words. God doesn't just repeat the promise. God moves Abraham into a covenant moment. Scripture tells us that God instructs Abraham to prepare a ceremony, a covenant ceremony. Now, this wasn't random. Abraham understood exactly what God was asking him to do. In ancient culture, a covenant was the strongest agreement between two people. Stronger than a contract, stronger than a promise. It's a life-binding agreement. They would prepare a narrow path, an aisle, and both parties would walk through it together. And this is the first time we see a picture of a wedding when they have the aisle. By doing that, they were both saying two things. If I break this covenant, let the consequences fall on me. This promise is worth my life. This wasn't symbolic talk. This was serious talk. This had weight. This was an unbreakable agreement. And Abraham knows this. And he doesn't hesitate. He doesn't question it. He prepares everything exactly as God told him to. Why? Because Abraham grew up in this culture. He understood covenant language. And here's where Abraham fully expects. He expects that both he and God will walk the aisle together. That's how covenants worked. Two parties, two commitments, shared responsibilities. Abraham is thinking, God will walk the aisle and I'll walk mine. But God is about to do something that has never been seen before. God is about to redefine covenant. God is about to show Abraham and us that the promise will not depend on human strength, human faithfulness, or human consistency. I think about this in my own life, and I've made promises, and I meant them with all of my heart. And I've said things like, God, I'll never mess this up again. Or, Lord, I got this. And I was sincere, but sincerity doesn't equal strength. Life tested those promises I made. Pressure have exposed my limits. And that's where many of us live, wanting to be faithful but knowing how human we are. And that's where Abraham is standing right now. He's ready to walk the aisle. He's ready to do his part. But God is about to show him something deeper. Can someone say deeper? God is about to teach a deeper truth. This covenant will be carried by God himself. And at this moment, Abraham doesn't know it yet, but God is preparing to show him that the promise will stand. Not because Abraham is strong, but because God is faithful. And that sets the stage for one of the most powerful moments in Scripture. When God does what no one expected. Amen. God walks the aisle alone. He walks the aisle alone. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 17, it says, smoking fire pot, and a flaming torch passed between the halves of the carcasses. To us, that might sound strange, but to Abraham, it meant everything. Smoke and fire were not random symbols. They represented the presence of God. This is the same God who would later lead Israel by a pillar of fire at night. This is the same God whose presence filled the tabernacle. The same God who himself would make himself known, not just in words, but in power. And then comes the shock. God walks the aisle alone. Abraham doesn't step forward. He doesn't follow behind. Abraham doesn't even participate. God moves through the aisle by himself. And in that moment, God is making a statement louder than any sermon. Abraham, this promise does not depend on you. God is saying, this covenant will not stand or fall based on your performance, your consistency, or even your perfection. It depends on my faithfulness, says the Lord. And this is not a 50-50 agreement. This is not you do your part and I'll do mine. This is 100% God guaranteed. Abraham doesn't negotiate terms. Abraham doesn't add conditions. He doesn't even sign anything. He simply watches God as he binds himself to the promise of his own word and presence. And church, this is the heart of the gospel. God takes the responsibility. God takes the weight. God sustains the promise. God ensures the outcome. Abraham believed, but God guaranteed. And don't miss this. Thousands of years before Jesus walked on earth, this moment is pointing right at the cross. Because at the cross, God does it again. Humanity couldn't walk down the aisle. We couldn't keep the law. We couldn't carry the weight of sin. So Jesus stepped in. He carries the responsibility. He bears the cost. He seals the covenant. Just like Abraham, God says to us, I'll take it from here. And that's why you can trust him. That's why his promises stand. That's why your future is secure. Not by your strength, not by your faithfulness, but by his faithfulness. Amen. Praise the Lord. And what does this mean for you today? What do you do when you're waiting for the promise? Now that we've seen what God did for Abraham, the question becomes personal. What do you do when you're standing between the promise and the fulfillment? What do we do when God has spoken, but nothing seems to be changing? Nothing has changed yet. Because waiting is where faith is tested. Waiting is where discouragement shows up. Waiting is where doubt whispers. Waiting is where people give up too soon. But in Genesis 15, God gives us the blueprint on how to wait with faith. The first thing you ought to do, the first thing that you must do, is believe the word even when there is no evidence. Scripture says Abraham believed God. Not the promise came to pass before anything changed. No child yet, no land yet, no visible proof, just the word from God. And this is where many people struggle. We say, God, I believe it when I see it. But faith says, I believe it even when I don't see it. Waiting seasons expose what we really trust. Do we trust what God said? Or do we trust what we see? Because sight will always tell you the promise is impossible. Faith says God is faithful. And some of you are waiting right now, waiting for restoration, waiting for provision, waiting for direction, waiting for healing, waiting for a miracle, waiting for a spouse, waiting for a business, waiting for a home, waiting for a job, and nothing around you looks different yet. But hear this. Faith is not believing that God will do something someday. Faith is trusting that God is already at work, and even when you can't see it. Amen. Abraham believed first, then God moved. The second thing you ought to do right now in your life, I like that word, ought. You must do it now. Is protect the promise from the vultures, from the birds. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 11, it says, some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abraham chased them away. That verse may seem very small, but it's powerful. Those birds didn't come to help. They came to steal, distract, and destroy what God was about to seal. And when God gives you a promise, those birds show up. Negative voices, doubt-filled opinions, past failures, fear, people who don't understand what God has spoken to you. Not everyone who speaks into your life is meant to. Some voices sound logical, but they're not spiritual. Some voices sound wise, but it drains your faith. Abraham didn't ignore the birds. He didn't negotiate with them. He drove them away. Sometimes guarding your faith looks like turning down the noise, setting boundaries, choosing who has access to your heart. Saying, I'm not discussing the promise with everyone. Because not every voice deserves a seat at your table. If God gave you the promise, he didn't ask everyone else for their opinion. And the third thing you ought to do, you must do right now, is rest. God is the one performing the covenant. This might be the most freeing part of the whole story. When it comes time to God to seal the covenant, Abraham falls into a deep sleep. Think about that. At the most important moment, when the promise is sealed, Abraham is resting. Why? Because God is showing us something. You don't perform the covenant. You don't sustain the covenant. You don't secure the covenant. God does. Some of us are exhausted because we're trying to do God's job. We're trying to control the outcomes. We're trying to force doors to open. We're trying to make things happen. But rest doesn't mean passivity. Rest means trust. Rest says, God, I've obeyed, I've believed. Now I trust you to finish what you have started. And hear this clearly. Rest is not a lack of faith. Rest is evidence of faith. When you truly trust God, you can sleep while he works. So So here's the simple message while you wait. Believe the word even when nothing seems to have changed yet. Guard the promise. Don't let distractions steal it. And rest. Because God is carrying what he promised. You're not forgotten. You're not late. You're not behind. You're in the waiting. And God is still faithful there. I feel brought to bring this example to you guys. I need two volunteers. Come to the front, please. Two volunteers. Don't run all at the same time. Felix, come. Yeah, Mr. Michael. Round of applause, please, to these two wonderful gentlemen. Stand beside me. One beside each other. Come right here. Come right here. This is going to be your plan, your purpose, what God has for you. This is going to be you. So what happens is, come with me, walk with me, walk with me. Things, you stop, but his purpose continues. His promise continues, but we're stuck back here. 10 years have passed. But right now, today, you have an opportunity to make your purpose, to make your calling, your covenant, to catch up to where you're supposed to be. Yes. And what should have taken 10 years to be where you're at, God next year is going to expedite that quicker, faster than ever before. If you want children, if they were born here, they would have been 10 years old there. How do you speed up time? He's going to give you triplets. And time's going to speed up. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. And with this, I'll close. Stop trying to steal what God already guaranteed. Stop caring what God already promised to handle. Trust God who walked the aisle and let him walk you into the promise. Amen? Can I please have the worship team come up, play one song, please? Family, hear this today. God walked the aisle for Abraham. God walked the aisle for Israel. God walked the aisle at the cross. And God is still walking the aisle for you. You may feel unqualified. You may feel unsure. You may feel unprepared. But God doesn't invite you into a covenant because you're strong. He invites you because he is faithful. Your job is what Abraham did. Believe, follow, and trust. The God who walked the aisle for Abraham, he will walk you into your promise. Amen. Can I please have everybody stand on your feet? I want every eye closed, every head bowed. Step into the covenant that God is offering you. Family, before we close, I want to speak to your heart. We just talked about a God who walked the aisle. A God who binds himself and his people. A God who keeps his promises even when we don't know how to keep ours. And right now, the Holy Spirit is inviting you into a moment just like Abraham had. Not a moment of hype. Not emotion, a moment of covenant. A moment when you decide God, I'm not just believing in you. I'm belonging to you. A moment when you stop running, when you stop negotiating, when you stop trying to save yourself. And you simply let God do what he did for Abraham. Walk the aisle for you. Right now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a covenant with God for the year 2026. This is going to be the year that we've never seen before, like we've never seen before in Niagara Falls. This is the year where God is going to show himself here at Lighthouse. That property across the road, I am prophesying in the name of Jesus that it falls into our hands. And we as a church are going to see the hand of God in our church. But we need to move into a moment of covenant. You need to be serious. This is life and death. Think about this. The only thing you can bring to heaven is other people. You have the opportunity to bring your loved ones, to bring your friends, to bring your family. Every second is an opportunity to have a relationship with God. If you want to make a covenant with God, I want you to run to the front right now. Come to the altar and bring the past to the altar. Give it to God. And make a covenant for the year 2026. I want you to be standing in the right place to receive the blessing that is coming, and it's going to be quick. Amen. Run, 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 run.
Pastor Joel here. Thanks again for tuning into this sermon podcast. Just a reminder to come join us 10 a.m. Sundays, either in person or live streamed at lighthouseniagara.com. God bless and have a great day.